I do know I was pretty out of it. And I had... Not a dream. Exactly. More like I had this knowledge. It just came to me like truth, you know? Even though it didn't seem possible. Even though I shouldn't think such things.
What?
That Dawn... She's not mine, is she?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving our review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I'm Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking Season 5, Episode 9, Listening to Fear, directed by David Solomon, written by Rebecca Rand Kirshner. Original air date November 28th, 2000, to an audience of 5.48 million people. And we've got a friggin' shout out to get to at the top here, all the way from Great Britain. Thank you very much, Kerosene17, for your kind words and your awesome Apple Podcast review. We really appreciate it, helping us with the algorithm, hopefully, and better find us better than all these other bullshit-ass Buffy podcasts. I'm shooting first shot. Shots fired, I guess, whatever. guys, I got a confession.
This is so bad. I was like, I can't believe you tried to do that again.
We got a confession to make, everybody. This is our second time recording this podcast. We were about 20 minutes into our episode when we had a power outage and my garage band crashed because of it. And everything just went to shit, and it said that it was going to auto save. And when I opened it back up, it did not auto save. So we are starting this episode fresh from the top. And Joe, neither of us are very happy about it.
Joe tried to do the same bit about the other podcast, and it just came across so. And then I was going to have to do the, oh, well, we can't listen to other podcasts because we're saving it. But people on Discord tell us about it. I don't think we can do any of the stuff that we did last time. Like, all the stuff, we just have to go through it and just new stuff will come up. Because as soon as you brought that up, it's like, I can't do the whole spiel that I did before. But we don't listen to other podcasts of Buffy because of spoilers, so.
And because they suck, according to our Discord users.
And Joe, how can someone get a shout out?
You get a shout out by doing a 5-star rate review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star on Spotify and screenshot it and send it to my DMs at Joe Welke.
And thank you again, Kerosene17, from the land of watchers. We appreciate it.
Yep. Patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel and Boys Watching Movies. All right. Let's re-get into this.
We didn't make it that far because we talked about Riley for a long time.
Yeah.
And I guess we're going to have to talk about him again.
We're going to talk about Riley again for quite a bit. All right. So let's get into the episode. Here we go. Starts off with a long, long ass recap about Riley and Sandy and Glory and Dreg from the last episode. Glory, who she is in general, and about how she's looking for a key and Dawn is the key. And then we also had a recap of Joyce getting a shadow or a brain tumor, low-grade glioma or whatever it's called. And thus concludes the recap. The actual episode starts with Joyce, Dawn, and Buffy at the hospital. And Joyce is in her little gurney and she's eating her hospital food. And there's jiggly-ass green jello. And Dawn is wiping it all over her face.
She is eating green jello with her hand, shoving it into her face. And we talked about this earlier, and I don't know whose fetish this is.
Yeah.
Like, to have Dawn shoving stuff into her face and being all sloppy. And it's just weird. And she's 14, well, not 5.
It must be somebody's fetish because they had Willow do it to herself, too. Remember when she put the ice cream on her nose?
No, then... that was, like, cutesy shit. Like, that was, like, that's like, cutesy rom-com stuff. And it had a callback where she tried to do it again later and it didn't work.
Yeah.
This is Dawn, like, shoving ice cream, like, eating ice cream and not getting any of it in her mouth. Like, yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, and then Dawn goes on some rant about what gelatin actually is and how it's, like, cow's feet all mashed up and mushed together. And everyone is, like, looking at her like, why are you telling us this? So then the doctor comes in. And he's like, guess what, Joyce? I've got some good news. Everything seems fine. All of your tests, you seem healthy for a lady with a brain tumor. So because of that, we have been able to schedule your surgery for the day after tomorrow. And they're like, all right, well, okay, that's cool. And Joyce is like, phew, man, I wish we could just get this over with now. But okay, 2 days isn't that bad. And then she's sitting there with Buffy and Dawn, and Joyce looks over at Buffy, and she's kind of like, you know, you don't really have to stay here with me. I'll be fine in the hospital. And plus, don't you have to go out and patrol? And Buffy's like, nah, don't worry about it. I got the Scoobs filling in for me. They're out on patrol. Riley and the Scooby gang are out on patrol, and they should be doing just fine.
Sunnydale will fall apart if no one was on patrol that night.
So after Buffy says, hey, these Scoobies, they're going to be doing just fine, we get the obligatory smash cut to the Scoobies not doing fine.
Yeah.
They're getting thrashed in a graveyard by a gigantic lady. Or is it two giant lady vampires, or is it just the one?
I couldn't. It seemed like it was two lady. There's one very tall female vampire.
With the snakeskin muscle shirt.
Yeah. Which I mentioned before when we recorded that they should have saved her for, like, Harmony's gang. And, like, she could have been used better. Like, for them to just get rid of her, like, in this opening scene felt like a waste of, like, a cool, like, 90s, 2000s big female vampire reveal. You know, her beating up Xander would be ideal.
Yeah, she just has such a big and intimidating presence that, like, to throw her, like, to get killed by Willow, of all people?
You know, anybody can kill a vampire, you know?
This lady vampire deserves better, though.
I don't know. Would you... Like, the Slayer, you could get rid of Slayers. Like, there's only one in a world, apparently. Like, there's two, technically, right?
Yeah.
I feel like if you just trained everyone like you trained Slayers, you'd be better off. An army. Yes. And they wouldn't have to. And guess what? You could probably use people that aren't high school girls.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not use a high school girl as your weapon against vampires.
Well, I mean, the Initiative was trying to do a little bit of that.
Yeah, but they didn't believe in vampires and stuff. They thought they were, like... I don't know. What did they
just get? Animals or whatever.
Yeah. They were like, it's just a mutated animal, I guess. God, the Initiative.
So Xander and Giles are getting beat up by these vampires, and Willow stakes both of them. Like, Willow is getting beat up by one vampire. She stakes that one. And then she sneaks up from behind the big, jacked, pro wrestler looking lady vampire that is attacking Xander, and she just stakes that one.
Yeah.
She's all jazzed about it. She's like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I staked two in one night. And Giles and Xander are like, yeah, it did not go as well for us because we were getting thrown around this graveyard.
Yeah, and they're all, like, freaking out and weak at the knees after this.
Yeah, but the main point of this scene is that the Scoobies are all like, it's really weird that Riley didn't show up to this because we all planned on going out together. And he's just, like, doing missions on his own. Like, he went off to that vampire den with the grenade by himself. He didn't tell any of us. And now that we're out doing patrol, he's flaking on us. Like, what the fuck is up with this guy? So it's a little suspicious because
they said it would be easier if Riley was there.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have his strength, but he's still the best of fighter out of all of them. He doesn't seem like he's gotten any weaker.
No, he definitely, after this chip surgery to get it out of his heart and the weaning off drugs, he's still wailing on vampires.
I mean, he saved Buffy last episode or so. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we we get a cut to what Riley is actually up to. And what he is actually up to is he's in a warehouse and he is getting his arm sucked by this lady vampire. And the way that it was filmed initially, I was like, are they straight up showing Riley getting a blowjob?
And I took it as this is a him in a heroin crack den. Wire-esque. He's got a vampire sucking the blood from his arm, the vein. And I feel like they're going to do what's that mark on your arm? It's like track marks from like shooting up. But what we debated for a long time in the first recording was how did he set this up? How is he like, one, we don't know if he's getting any type of pleasure from this, because we don't know like how vampires, if vampires sucking your blood, does it like feel good?
Yeah. Do you get like some kind of high from it?
Yeah. Is he just being drained of blood? Is he just doing this to be a badass? Is this just the show being cool, being like, look how low this guy has gone? But I definitely think it's some drug analogy.
Well, it's especially confusing too, because last episode it seemed like he was kind of leaning towards like, maybe I'll just become a vampire, and he staked Sandy. This is a different lady vampire that's sucking on him. And like, I just don't know what he's getting out of it. Like, I just don't get it.
I feel like I'm also curious more of how he arranged this.
Yeah.
Like, did he ask Willie, hey, is there a vampire that like will suck you off for like for a couple for $100? like what is he like? I don't know how he got this vampire to just like, okay, you could suck my blood, but don't drain me, and cool. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't be one to trust a vampire.
No.
You're like, oh, you're not gonna kill me, right? Huh?
Like, is he just like no. He's just holding like a steak at her while she does it. Like, don't try anything funny. Just, but no, he looks like he's just fucking out of it.
Yeah, he's getting his arm sucked, looking out a window, and
he's in a very dark place for girlfriend doesn't love me.
Would you consider this cheating?
That's a fresh take that we didn't have last time. That is an interesting one.
We know that Buffy would be pissed if she found out about this.
Riley would consider it cheating if, like, if Buffy let Spike take a drink out of her neck, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because Riley hates Spike, because Spike is just like poking the bear with him all the time.
Would you feel different if it was a male vampire sucking his arm?
Oh, I don't think Riley would. I think this is the year 2000.
I'm just saying, like,
it's running rampant.
But I'm saying, like, no. But I'm saying, would that help his argument? Like, I'm not cheating. That's just my bro.
Graham got turned, all right? I still care for Graham.
We get to see some Graham later in this episode.
Oh, boy, he's got a fresh new look.
He looks like, does he have one of those like military berets on like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I love the berets.
Like Duke from G.I. Joe.
Yeah, man. I don't know, man. It is an interesting, like, is this cheating?
Is this cheating is a good question. I didn't think about that. It's not
good. Sound off in the Discord.
Whatever it is, it's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not upstanding white bread milk behavior by Riley, which is what we've come to expect.
This is French toast level.
Oh, yeah. He might be getting a little bit of butter on him soon. Give him some flavor.
It's still unsalted. It's still unsalted. Yeah.
So then we go to the hospital and Willow is there and she's visiting the Summers women, and she comes bearing gifts, everyone. And she's like, Joyce, guess what I got you? I got you this perfect gift. You're going to love it. It's a beer hat. And Joyce is like, thanks. And Willow's like, now that I see this and explained it, I regret this. And it is so stupid.
I don't get this at all. I really don't. I just don't get why a beer hat. Like, I don't get the reference. It's not a callback to Beer Bad. It's not like
Joyce has been shown to be like a drunk.
Yeah.
She'd get that for Xander's family.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what they were going for with this one.
Yeah. But then Joyce is like, oh, thanks for this gift. Oh, no, I've got a headache. Oh, no, I'm not feeling so good anymore. But she like looks at Buffy, and Buffy's like, are you all right? And Joyce is like, yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. So then Willow continues with her gift giving. She gets Dawn a spell book, and Buffy's like, are you serious? You got the girl that breaks everything a book of spells? And Willow's like, don't worry about it. It's not a real spell book. It's just kind of like a history book about witches. And Buffy's like, whew, thank God.
We can't be selling magic spell books to just any random person. Magic box. Yo, Giles is a nuisance in this town. Like,
he absolutely is. He's like Tony Stark. He creates all of his own villains.
He might as well be. Like, I know I've been like, hey, people should have some guns to shoot some demons in this world. But he's basically selling loaded weapons with no oversight. Like, yeah, we need, like, comprehensive spell control in this city. Like, everybody could just get magic witchcraft products. Like,
dude.
It's insane.
We've talked about it. You need to take IDs for
something.
Dude, I have to get my ID scanned.
Just don't sell something that's called a bloodstone.
I have to get my ID scanned when I buy decongestant allergy medicine.
Yeah.
You're not going to fucking scan some IDs with your orb of Thessalus or whatever you're going to sell, dude. Like, come on. You need to keep track of this.
Yeah. Your watcher. Use your watcher abilities to keep notes.
So then Willow is like, all right, your turn, Buffy. Here's your homework. And Buffy's like, oh, this sucks. Like, fuck. Why would I do that? And then Joyce has an outburst where she goes, I'd rip it in half and stick it in bed with me. And everyone just kind of looks at her like, what the fuck was that? And then she's like, guys, I think I might need to take a rest now.
I think her acknowledging that she needs to take a rest afterwards is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the self-awareness that just comes in.
Well, it makes no sense because later on, she's not aware that she's doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. Her saying that line is very funny, but I could see it being weird and scary to the kids. Because it's like,
yeah,
mom is losing it. And then if you're also watching this and your parents have also gone through like some like Alzheimer's or dementia, you're like, you can relate to it. And it's more like, it hits you less humorous and more serious. But the line is funny.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the lines that Joyce... yeah. Like, they talk about the symptoms of this low-grade glioma or brain tumor or whatever that she's got going on. And I remember the doctor telling, he's like, you could have mood swings. You could have loss of appetite, loss of limb function or something. They never said anything about just, like, blurting out word salad.
They never said Tourette's and sleepwalking.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. But, yeah. Yeah, I forgot to say Willow also gives Buffy a yo-yo.
And I mentioned that I wasn't sure if I dreamed this or had some deja vu of a yo-yo being important to Buffy. Is it in the Restless episode? Does she get a yo-yo in the Restless episode?
I don't remember anything about yo-yo and Buffy.
Well, people in Discord will probably chime in. Otherwise, I just had a fever dream and having weird deja vu of like Buffy getting a yo-yo. I mean, like, these gifts have to mean something.
Yeah.
What is the scene? Just a showcase for Jell-O?
Yeah, it's to show how bad of a gift giver Willow is.
Yes. Yeah.
So then they all go out into the hallway, Buffy, Dawn, and Willow, because Joyce needs to take a rest. And Buffy's explaining to Dawn. Dawn's like, what's going on with mom? What the fuck was that? Buffy's like, oh, you weren't around when the doctor explained that the brain tumor could cause mom to act weird and say weird things and do weird stuff. So don't worry about it. It's perfectly normal. She's got a 33% chance of coming out of this A-OK. So then they're walking down the hall of the hospital, and a man who's kind of like muttering to himself walks by him, and he's got like a couple people with him. And then he sees Dawn, turns around, and he points at her, and he goes, what is that thing? There's no data. There's no data on that. What is that thing? There's no one in there. And he's like getting closer and like getting louder and louder. And Dawn's freaking out. She's like, what's going on with this? Like, what is that? What does that guy have? What mom has? And that guy, the crazy guy, kind of like gets shuffled away by his family, it looks like. So then,
wait, and now this guy is the security guard that Glory brain melted.
Oh,
with.
It's that guy.
Yes. That's why they showed that clip. And he's like, hey, okay. I have a family. So that's that guy. And you see him with his family. And you're like, oh, so that's the guy that had his brain all scrambled. And at this point, I was like, oh, now I get the guy on the street that went up to Dawn when she was outside of the magic shop and was like, you're weird. I don't know what's happening with you. Before we
knew
that
Dawn was a kid. Here.
Yeah. So that's another guy that Glory must have like mind raped or whatever she did. I don't know what she did to me because I wasn't sure last time what she did to this guy. But
that guy died.
No. That's why they showed that clip of him in the thing. Beforehand.
Yeah, because like when she's grabbing his head turns to mush and gets all misshapen and then it just like goes back to normal.
Yeah, that's why I was like, what happened? And even when that podcast, I was like, I don't know what she did to that guy, but this is what, that's him. And then that explains why, which they bring up later in the episode, but that explains a guy on the street who could see that she was empty too.
Yeah. All right, everybody. And this is where we got up to in our first recording. So now it's all new. This is fresh banter now.
Until something goes wrong and then we get a third run of this.
Oh my God, I'll kill myself. So then Dr. Intern Ben shows up. Our boy, who we suspected was going to be somebody.
When we get to it, I'll bring up the scene that made me think what kind of gets revealed here. You had a different thought about it, but yeah.
So Dr. Ben shows up and he's like, hey, is that guy bothering you guys? And they're like, yeah, he just kind of like started yelling at us. It's no big deal. He seemed like a little out of it, huh? And Dr. Ben goes, oh man, yeah, the mental ward here is all booked up. It's booked beyond capacity. And they're like, oh man, well, what's going on? He's like, yeah, we'll have to send them home to their families because we can't keep them all there. And they're like, well, that doesn't seem like a good idea. I have confusing notes here. Was there anything else after this that you remember?
No, he just kind of shows up to kind of, this scene is basically him just being there, being like, huh, yeah, I'm Dr. Intern Ben. And then we get to Willow and Tara on the rooftop in the most convenient plot setup scene ever. They're like sleeping on a rooftop of a building.
Yeah, I don't know where they are. Are they back at college? I'm guessing they're back at college.
Is this the magic shop rooftop?
I don't know. They got a little sleeping bag and they're both all bundled up together and they're looking at constellations.
Who sleeps outside at night when vampires exist?
Yeah. I guess they were like, we're safe. We're on a roof.
Yeah, vampires can't climb.
So Willow's pointing out real constellations and she's like, oh, look at that one. Oh, look at that one. And Tara starts making up her own constellation. She's like, oh, yeah, there's the big pineapple. And Willow's like, well, what? And Tara's like, yeah, I mean, none of those constellations that you're talking about look like that anyway. So let's just make up our own shit.
This scene is like cute, I guess, but it goes on for way too long.
Yeah. So then they see a giant shooting star slash meteor that flies across the sky. and crash lands not too far away from them.
Somehow, because it seemed like it was on a town over.
Yeah.
like
it looked like it was like a town in a swamp.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, they're all freaked out. And so then we go to the crash site. And we see like all the debris and stuff that's going on at the crash site. And the crazy security guard guy that got mind mushed by Glory, he's walking around. He's walking around this park or whatever.
The family just let him go on the loose. They just they did not try to watch him.
No preventative measures whatsoever.
The wife and daughters were just like, he's going for a walk. Let him go.
So he's out there, he's muttering to himself, and he's just wandering around. And then a tiny slug-looking alien man gets out of the crash site and attacks him.
Cool-looking little person in a suit, for sure. And it's funny-looking. It's weird.
I disagree. I don't think he's cool-looking. I agree that it is funny-looking, and it is weird-looking.
Okay.
And some of the stuff that
you
they
know what
have
I'm gonna say?
Little...
You know what I'm going to say? After seeing the fake cobra, I just like that this was mostly like 90% practical. That's what I'll go with.
Yeah. I like some of the stuff that they
and
got
the, crawling,
the little slug
and
guy
just the
doing.
Crawling thing is funny.
The crawling was great. Yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
But the cobra guy was so much better than the slug guy. Come
on. But I'm just saying when they cut to those like wide shots.
Yeah. Those CGI rough. Shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the slug alien attacks the guy, and then we go to the hospital where the slug alien has wandered over there.
My notes say alien sneaks into the murder hospital.
Yeah, dude. This alien.
It's so big, somehow no one can see it.
It's just like... It's on the ceiling at some points, and the ceilings are not like mega super high. They're maybe like 8-10 feet tall, and there's people just walking around like they can't see this.
Yeah. Sunnydale's amazing. Sunnydale is an amazing place.
Dude, So we go to Joyce's room, and she's trying frantically to press the nurse button, and it's not working. She's like, guys, it's not working. It's not working. And she's fucking livid. Mm-hmm. And Buffy's like, all right, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And Joyce is freaking out. And then the doctor shows up, and he's like, oh, what's going on in here? And Buffy's like, my mom wants to go home. And the doctor is like, I don't think that's a good idea. And Joyce is like, I can't stay here anymore. This place sucks. I want to go home. I can't just sit around here. This is terrible. And she starts really freaking out. And I forget what she like really yells. And then Buffy like sends Dawn away. Yeah. She's like, hey, go buy something from the vending machine.
If you're done, you're like, no, I'm sticking around.
Yeah. Like, so after Dawn goes away, Buffy's like, is there any way that we could take my mom home? I mean, she's just gonna be sitting here in the hospital, you know. She didn't bring enough conditioner. Like, we gotta get her home. She gotta wash her hair. She gotta condition it, man. She doesn't want scary mom hair.
It's losing all of its volume and bounce.
And the doctor's like, look, I don't think this is a good idea, but if you really, 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 really want to go home, we can do it, but I'll have to teach you how to administer her medication, and I got to give you all these instructions on how to take care of your mom. And Buffy's like, I'll do it.
Sending Joyce home for a day is so irresponsible.
Absolutely.
It is a day. Your mom is already showing signs of, like, instability, right?
Well, it all, dude, these instability things came on so quick.
Yes.
Because now Joyce is just freaking out every 5 seconds.
Now that she's freaking out more, that means keep her closer. And the doctor's having to give her like, all right, you have to administer the drugs. You're not going to get a lot of sleep. This is all the instructions. I'm like, no, it's one day.
Yeah.
Strap her down and leave her in there. That's what they're doing with all the other mental patients.
Yeah, I
like, don't send her home with her teenage daughter.
I was so baffled about this, dude.
And just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where that stands on, like, can they send her home? Is that like against, like, I guess, like, they could send you, I guess you could, I guess you're able to leave whenever, because Riley had that thing where they were like, we can't talk you into getting surgery or staying overnight. So, but sure. Yeah. It's a bad idea. Taking her home is a dumb idea.
It's a terrible idea. Yeah. This is so stupid.
And unless you were like, I want to get her out of the murder hospital before the murdering starts, then that makes sense.
Where do you think Joyce is safer? In the murder hospital or at home where things have broken in 100,000 times?
I think she's safest as long as Buffy doesn't go on patrol.
Okay. Like, Buffy's patrol is at home.
Yes.
Today.
Like... This is another thing I thought about. They're like, oh my God, my mom's having brain surgery. She might die. I'm like, she might die just being around you guys. Like,
yeah,
the brain surgery death is like one thing, but like her life is at threat every time she goes to the gallery.
Yeah. She wanders around alone at night all the time. It's like,
yeah.
I think her chances with this surgery are better than her walking home alone at night.
Three surgeries, three walking home by yourself at night.
I'll take the surgery.
That 33% chance of survival is way higher.
Yeah. So then we go outside where Dawn is going up to the vending machine. She's pondering what to get. And the little slug alien guy is creeping on over on the ceiling over to Dawn.
It's so big.
It's so big and so unseen. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And it's like a complete, it doesn't even do like any camouflaging. It's completely it's sticks out on this beige wall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The wall is like beige or white. Yeah, and like the slug alien's like, dark green or something. Yeah.
It's like, no way you don't notice that. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we have the Scoobies going and they're looking for the crash site of where this meteor thing happened. And Riley is there this time around with the Scoobs. And he's like, hey guys, I'm happy that you called me to come and investigate this. And Xander goes, I'm glad you answered because you've been a fucking flake, dude. Like, what is up?
Yeah.
And before Riley can really answer, they find the crash site and they're looking at it and Riley jumps in on there and he's just like getting his face all close. And
yo, like Anya's there. She's like, hey, maybe you don't want to touch it because it'll sterilize you. And then he like touches it like with his bare hands.
This is like in Alien Covenant when everybody alien world and they just have no protective gear at all.
They're like, huh, we've been on this planet for 2 seconds. Let's take off our helmets. Hey, let's touch that weird alien thing.
Let me stick my face in this weird alien egg. But yeah, Anya's like, yeah, that radiation from the meteor might make you go sterile. And Xander's like, oh, I got to run away from that. I don't want to be sterile.
And Riley's like, grab it, two hands.
Yeah. Riley's like letting it suck on his arm.
It's like, can we crush this up and snort it? Or?
So then the gang all kind of deduce that it is an alien, that it was in this pod and it escaped and is out there doing evil. And so they all start looking around for evidence of where the alien may have gone, and they find the dead security guard guy, and Willow recognizes him. She's like, oh, I remember this guy. This is the guy that yelled at Dawn at the hospital. And Riley's like, oh, this guy's dead, and it looks like it might be scary. Let me go and get my face all close to him. And Riley goes in there, and he He's digging goo from this dude's mouth with a pen. And he's like, oh, this shit stinks. And he and Xander kind of quip back and forth about how bad it stinks. Mm-hmm. And then they all decide collectively, well, we can't call Buffy. She's got way too much going on right now.
This, I know I wrote a note later in this episode, but this sticks with what happened last episode. Tell Buffy, stop trying to protect her by keeping secrets. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, she needs to know these weird things. Also, do you guys care about this guy's family? Willow? Like, do you guys care about telling this guy that you saw with a whole family walking away? Like, hey, yeah, your dad's dead. Like,
yeah,
they don't care about that at all.
Nah, because obviously the family didn't care. They just let him wander around at night.
For me, it's when they leave Riley there. And they all walk away. What is that?
Yeah, so they all decide that they need to go and research and figure out what this meteor situation might be and what this alien might be doing. And Riley's like, I'm going to hang back and I'm going to examine this body a bit more. And you're like, are you sure that that's a good idea? And
are you Riley's sure about that?
Riley's like, guys, you've researched with me before. You know I am bad at that. And then they're all like, yeah, you're right, you're right. You are a big dumb dipshit. Later, dude.
And they just leave him out in the woods by himself with this alien creature thing that may still be out there that they know nothing about. And they're like, oh, we're going to go research. Research what?
Yeah.
At this point. And, yeah, this was crazy to me that they would just leave Riley in the middle of the woods with the dead guy.
Yeah, well, they're all pissed off that he's like out doing missions alone, and then they're like, he's like, I'm gonna take this one alone. And they're like, all right, cool. Like, they didn't even leave Xander out there with his dumbass. Like,
well, they were thinking, they talked, and they're like, oh, we could go search the woods and see if we could find it, or we could do research. They're like, yeah, research sounds safer. Yeah.
So, all the main Scoobies leave. Leave Riley out there by his lonesome. And as soon as they're out of earshot and out of sight, Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode names, boom, work that in there for you. Riley whips out his cell phone. The very same cell phones that could be giving Joyce a brain tumor.
Has Joyce been spending a lot of time with your boyfriend who has a flip phone? No, but he did touch a meteorite recently.
So Riley whips out his flip phone. He calls somebody. He goes, yeah, get me in touch with the man at the desk. This is an emergency frequency.
So, is Riley just cool with the initiative again?
I guess so.
Like, the initiative should be done. But okay, whatever.
Yeah. So then we go back to the hospital in what I assume is the mental ward that Ben was talking about. And there's a guy there. He's getting strapped down and tucked in, given sweet little goodnight kisses by a nurse. And he's like, please, please don't go. Please do not go. Don't go. And the nurse is like, everything's going to be fine. I'm leaving. And the guy's like, please, please don't go. Nurse leaves. And the guy is like, oh, God. Oh, shit. This is terrible. This is terrible. And he sees the little slug alien. Little slug alien shows up and he's crawling around the ground. And then it jumps on top of the guy and dude is screaming his head off. And the nurse is in her little office and she hears it and she just does nothing.
Yeah.
She just starts eating her licorice or whatever she's doing.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Like this is the mental ward. Like that's what's going to happen. And if Buffy and Dawn could have handled Joyce just like yelling for a little bit, they could have just left her in the hospital. Like the guy's had surgery in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude. Yeah. So then the alien is on top of this dude and it just spits all over his face.
This clear ooze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That is the scene. It's gross. It's gross. But
yeah, it's nasty. I wouldn't want it on my face, but you know, whatever. More power to the slogan.
I mean, I'm sure it probably had some like exfoliating properties or something.
Probably. It's probably a good skincare routine.
Yeah, like we could harness that ooze. Yeah.
So then we go to Buffy talking to the doctor, and Joyce is getting discharged, and the doctor's giving Buffy and all Dawn and Joyce all the instructions they need to take care of Joyce.
It's like a phone book, a list of stuff to take care of her. How many pills does she have to take in a day?
Dude, he gave her like two bottles of gigantic pill bottle. Like how?
What? Like she's done. She's done for, man.
Yeah. But she's especially done for because the little slug alien's on top of those on the ceiling spying on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's listening in. And he's like, oh, what are these Summers gals doing tonight? So the Summers ladies go home. And
one of her lines here is that Joyce says to Buffy, you look just like your father when he cries. And yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if the dad's going to come back at some point.
He's off in Spain with his secretary or whatever, right? I mean,
if Joyce was to die, we're going to get a thing where like Giles has to adopt them?
Oh, well, Buffy's old enough now. She's 19.
Yeah, but Dawn is...
fake?
Dawn is fake, but also only 14.
She's 14 with the mental capacities of a four-year-old.
If we have to have an episode where Buffy has to fight for custody of Dawn.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like her and Glory in court.
No.
Glory's like, oh.
Well, I was thinking the dad would come and try to claim for it.
Oh, yeah.
Not. I think she'd win custody over Glory.
No. So the Summers women go home, and Buffy is like turns on the lights as soon as they get in, and Joyce is like, oh, dude, please turn off the lights. It's way too bright in here. I can't handle all these lights. It's going to give me a headache. It's going to be too much. And Buffy's like, oh, sure. So they go to every single room in the house, and they shut off every single light in the entire house, which I felt was a little overkill. Joyce is only going to be in one room.
Hey, you don't want a crazy person whining about everything. Like they just got home and this is already starting. It's going. And there's a shot here where they cut to the outside of the house before like a commercial break. Mm-hmm. And I went back to look at it to see if we saw the slug or something. Is there anything in that shot?
Nope.
But it's like this. It's just the ominous music, right? And then it's a shot of the house and like the light upstairs.
Yeah, I didn't see the slug, but I think the ominousness of it is to show like they're completely in the dark and there's a slug monster that was just creeping on them.
Yeah. I'm not going to be afraid of the slug monster if Buffy's around.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So we go back to the meteor crash site where Riley is, and a helicopter swoops in.
And that budget, man, getting the helicopters. They do it like once a season. We get like a helicopter show up.
Yeah. And this is that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So helicopter comes in, lands. Military guys come out. Graham is there. They all got berets on. They're all in black. Some guy named General Ellis. Is that what his name is?
Major Ellis.
Major Ellis. They're like, oh, hello.
You got to get their credentials just right.
So they show up.
Wait,
and
Riley, is he still a part of the government?
He called them, he was like, it's Agent. Wait, no, it's just Riley Finn.
It's like, lose this number, dude, if you're not part of the team. How does he have this?
Dude, if you're confused about that, I'm confused about when did Riley become like a scientist?
Well, this is where when we were watching this, I was like, Riley would be so good on one of those CSI Law and Order shows.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he missed his, like, he could have been like 100 some episodes, like how David Boreanaz is on Bones. Like, I could completely see him on an NCIS going around, solving some murder, being like, this person has this. Like, he does that in the scene. He's 100% just like jargon. Wait, don't follow him. You'll never track that. This is this. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is what he should be doing. Like, yeah, I don't know much about his other acting roles because I haven't looked him up. But yeah, man, he would have killed it on that show.
Yeah, he's walking around with these military guys. They're like, yeah, this meteor's got a lot of protein alkaloids there. And they're like, well, we can trace it with that, right? And Riley's like, no, the protein's breaking down too fast. Like, and you can't trip.
What did he bring? How did he testing this in the middle of the forest?
That's what I was like, what?
He has a little vial that he kept it in. I'm like, how are you testing that is breaking down? Yeah, but sure.
And the military guys are like, so what do you suggest, Riley? And he's like, I'll tell you what to do. You got to look for the gammonoids.
Oh, well, we have a Geiger counter in the helicopter. Go get that, Graham. Graham's like, okay.
Just as effective as when they were trying to track Spike down. Remember that?
I only know what Geiger counters sound like based off from video games and Chernobyl. And Graham says, surprised you didn't call your girlfriend for this. I love that Graham's still throwing that shade at him.
He's like, oh, you mean Forrest? He's dead.
The mission's girlfriend?
So then we go back to the Summers house, and Buffy and Dawn are watching TV, and the little slug alien has infiltrated their house. And it's just creeping around. It sees them watching TV. And he's like, that doesn't really interest me much. Because what do we have going on behind me is Joyce sleepwalking down the stairs, going to the kitchen. And she starts making a ruckus in the kitchen. And Buffy and Dawn are like, what the hell is that? Mom, is that you? There's some more rustling. And they're like, oh. So they go into the kitchen. And Joyce, they're like, Mom, what are you doing? Joyce is like, I'm making breakfast. And it's like nighttime. Mm-hmm. And Buffy's like, Mom, don't do that. You should go back upstairs. And Joyce goes, yeah, Buffy, you shouldn't have any of this breakfast because you've gotten disgustingly fat.
It's the funny thing about this line is how those words hurt Buffy. Yeah. Like, she reacts to it like, oh my god, my mom thinks I'm fat. Not like, I don't know, it just has this look of like, not like she's freaking out by the statement and not that her mom is like losing her mind. I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, really?
I've been running on patrol every night.
So then after she calls Buffy fat, Joyce snaps back into reality.
Oops, there goes rabbit.
Oops, there goes gravity. And then she's like, what am I doing down here? What's going on? And Buffy's like, you're just a little confused, Mom. Don't worry about it. And then Dawn starts caressing Joyce. She's like, don't worry about it. You're fine. Everything's fine. And then Joyce snaps again and she goes, don't touch me. Get away, Dawn. I don't know what you are. You're a shadow. You're nothing. How did you get here? And then Joyce comes back again. And she's like, oh, hey, what's up, everybody? Dawn just starts crying.
Yeah. And I think Joyce also calls her a thing.
Yeah.
Which gets called in too, which I think Dawn brings back up. I thought it was interesting that she called her a shadow also, considering the title of the last episode and that being something. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So eventually Joyce goes back up into her room and Buffy goes over to comfort Dawn. And Dawn is like, why does my mom hate me? She called me a thing. She's been like yelling at me. And Buffy's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's the brain tumor, dude. And Dawn's like, nah, it's not just mom either. Remember that crazy guy at the hospital? He said that I was a thing. He said that I'm not real. Mom said I'm not real. And Buffy's like, well, those are two crazy people. And Dawn was like, well, I mean, a couple weeks ago outside of the magic shop, too, a guy came up and he said that I wasn't real and I don't belong here. And I don't understand what the hell's going on. Why is everybody singling me out? And Buffy's like, shh. Don't worry about it. You're real.
Yeah, Buffy's like, you're not. You're crazy. You're crazy, sure. No, that's not happening. I don't know a secret about you that I can't tell you right now.
Yeah, you're totally real. Look, I'm touching you. I'm touching you.
And then we get the title of the episode, basically, is like, she's just like, just don't listen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, this is, I felt really tough for Buffy in this situation. Because, yeah, like, what is she supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
We don't even know what this key is. Why have they not, like, researched key?
Well, when they talk about what's going on in Sunnydale later on in this episode, I'm like, why has it been affecting people for as long as it has been affecting them in that case?
What do you mean?
I'll talk about it later. But yeah, Buffy's basically like, nah, dude, you're 100% real. Don't worry about it, Dawn. So then we go back to the Scoobs, who are now doing research at the university library. And they're looking up stuff about the planets and the outer space. And they're looking at a constellation, like a planetary system, solar system.
The outer space.
So Willow finds something on the computer about meteors landing. They're very similar to what just happened. And then they eventually discover that it's some kind of ritual where the Queller people prayed to the moon and the meteors were supposed to come and crash land and quell their problems, but it caused plagues of madness instead. And all of the plagues of madness coincide just so neatly with the meteor events that happen.
So the madness would happen, and then the Queller, then the meteorite would land, and then the craziness would go away. It's what it is.
Okay, yeah.
That's how it is. This is a Queller demon, apparently. So, because as we learned in Angel, I don't think aliens technically exist in this world yet.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, because this isn't an alien, technically.
Yeah. So Tara talks about how people had to summon the meteor in order to make this Queller demon appear and all this stuff. And then Xander's like, I bet it's that no good, bad lady Glory. And so they're like, all right, well, we should call Buffy about this. And they're like, oh, wait, we can't. I just remember.
Call Buffy. If it has something to do with Glory, call Buffy.
Yeah. If it has something to do with anything, call Buffy.
Yes, like, because eventually it's going to end up on her doorstep.
Yep. But instead of calling Buffy, they call the next best thing, Riley Finn. Willow calls him up and she's like, hey, man, we figured out this is a Queller demon. And Riley's at the mental ward in the hospital. He's like, oh, yeah, it's a Queller demon, huh? It preys on the mentally unstable. That makes sense because I'm here at the mental ward and I got 5 corpses here.
I'm telling you, this is like a CSI episode. What is this? Why? Like, How are they investigating? Like, the cops aren't around or anything. Yeah.
Nope. So Willow is like, well, if it's going after people that are mentally unstable, Buffy's mom has been acting a little weird and mentally unstable. Should we be worried about that? And she's still at the hospital, right? And Riley's like, no, she's not at the hospital. Dr. Ben told me that they sent Joyce home. So Joyce is safe. She's with Buffy. Nothing bad's going to happen to her. And Willow's like, all right, cool. Well, I got a couple more questions for you, Riley. And Riley's like, nah, I'm good. And he just hangs up on her.
Yeah, I forget what she's about to say, but he definitely just hangs up.
Yeah. So then we go to what I find to be one of the more frightening scenes in this episode is Joyce in a fisheye lens, just rambling alone to herself about tennis and shit. Just, it's getting more and more ridiculous.
Those eyes are like gasoline puddles. Like,
yeah.
She has so many, like, yeah, she's talking about tennis rules and...
Yeah, she's going crazy.
It's one of those things that they just give an actor. Like, when actors have to pretend to be crazy, like, because we've seen Glory go crazy beforehand. Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, good luck. This could be really good or really weird.
And unfortunately for our dear fake daughter, Dawn, her room is right next to where Joyce's room is.
Which it isn't.
Yeah.
Because we know it's across the hallway from Buffy's.
Yes.
But I think she kind of can just hear it from outside of her room.
Well, isn't it Buffy when she takes Joyce back to the bedroom when she was in the kitchen? She just opens the door and she's in Dawn's room then?
Yeah, there's like a weird runaround that they can do where the rooms are interconnected, which doesn't seem like how it was set up beforehand.
Yeah, because like, I remember when Buffy had that spell where she could see all the fake stuff, she had to walk down the hall to get to Dawn's room.
It's like Buffy's room opens directly into like Joyce's room across the hall. And then Dawn's room was like to the left down the hall from there. But in this one, they're all kind of interconnected because... Dawn is able to like run around and close the door and like run back in. So whatever.
Very confusing. But
it's like Shoshana's apartment in Girls. Nice little callback to us never being able to figure out that layout, way far back
callback.
We talked about that apartment forever. We could not figure it out.
So Dawn is like trying to drown it out with a pillow, and she's like, "Man, this is horrible. Like, my mom is going crazy.
Maybe we shouldn't have brought her home."
Yeah. So Buffy is in the kitchen and she's like cleaning some dishes, and she can even hear it all the way down in the kitchen. And Buffy's like, "I can't take this right now." And she turns on the radio and she's got some very upbeat Latin music playing, like, da 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 da. And then she just starts crying.
Yeah.
And it is so hard to watch. Like, it's so sad, dude. Like, the contrast of this upbeat Latin music and Buffy just bawling her eyes out is terrifying.
And if she's worried about the surgery, that's not the most pressing issue they got with the mom right now.
No, it is not.
She's under more threat at home.
Absolutely, right now. She is. Because after we see Buffy crying for a while with this nice upbeat Latin style music, we go back to Joyce, who's still rambling loudly in her room, and the slug monster is right above her. And we see that that is who Joyce is rambling at. She's like, "Get away. You look crazy. You're nuts." I'm like,
yeah.
Terrible. So we go back to the hospital where the military guys are tracking something. They got their little boop, 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 boop. And they're on its trail. They're figuring out where the slug monster went to. And they get to the parking lot and they're like, "Ah, we lose trace of it here." And Riley, or somebody deduces.
Riley deduces because of what he got from the info he got from Willow about her leaving recently. Mm.
So he's like, "Well, maybe it ends here because it hitched a ride on a car." And they're like, wait a minute, hitched a ride on a car. Oh, fuck. Joyce just left the hospital. It's going to Buffy's house. We need to go to the Summers household right now. And all the military guys just start
running.
I'm surprised
Graham's like, sure we do.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm sure you got a little slug alien that you want to show Buffy there, Riley.
Just Graham just catty the rest of the series.
So then we go back to Buffy's house, and now Joyce is just straight up being attacked by the slug alien. It jumps down on her, and it spits its goo all over her face. And then Dawn hears this because Joyce is screaming now, and she comes in. She's like, oh, what the fuck is that thing? Slug alien looks at her like, oh, shit, she sees me. Dawn grabs a coat rack and just starts hitting the slug alien with it. And everybody starts screaming for Buffy. And Buffy can't really hear it because she's still crying and she's still got her upbeat Latin music. Dawn runs away and she barricades herself in Joyce's room after the slug alien leaves the room. And then Dawn, for like a half a second, opens the door and just screams, Buffy! Yeah. Closes the door. Buffy whips around. She hears it. She runs upstairs and she's like, what's going on? What's going on, guys? Dawn's like, there's a fucking slug monster in here. It attacked Mom. She's got goo all over her face.
She doesn't say any of that. None of that happens.
I thought that Buffy, she like runs to the door and
like, then the thing jumps down on her.
I thought the Dawn like gave her a hint of like, hey, there's a monster in here.
Yeah, maybe she said something, but she doesn't go into that detail.
Well, like, yeah. But the slug monster is right above the door and it just crash lands on Buffy. And they have a hilarious
My
Buffy
favorite type
fighting.
Of fights.
Yeah, Buffy fighting with a doll.
Yeah. They go down the stairs and it is so funny.
Yeah. They fall down the stairs and then Dawn's with Joyce and Joyce comes back into motherly stuff and she's hugging Dawn. She's like, it's going to be okay. It's okay, my baby. It's okay, my baby. Don't worry about it. And somehow at the bottom of the stairs, the slug has detached itself from Buffy and Buffy's looking around for the slug. Can't find it. Grabs a big old steak knife to kill it.
This is where we get into like a horror movie vibe. Like yeah, back like when we great. Had the Kralik thing. And I remember on the last Angel episode, you were like, it's nice to see them doing something different in Angel because they have a heist. And I'm like, yeah, Buffy does different things too. This is a horror movie in a house and a CSI episode. Like, they're doing different right. stuff. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Credit where credit's due.
Yep.
So Buffy's lurking around the house, looking with her knife all cocked and ready to kill this slug monster as soon as she sees it. And as she's walking, the door to the basement flies open and Buffy rears back to stab whatever's coming out because she thinks it's the slug monster, but it is Spike.
I didn't realize he was coming in from the basement until they say, what are you doing in the basement? I thought he was coming in through like the side door in the kitchen or something.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Oh, yeah.
That he's down there, but also weirder later.
Yeah, because Buffy is like, Spike, what the hell are you doing here? And he's like, well, now that I'm fucking an urban forester, you know, you got a lot of cool junk in your basement. So I was just kind of foraging around down there. It's no big deal. I was just stealing some stuff from you. You know, I'm evil. I got to get my rocks off somehow. And Buffy sees that Spike is stuffing something in his pocket. And she goes, wait a minute, are those pictures of me that you're putting in your pocket?
One, creepy. Two, great eyesight, Buffy.
Right, in the dark?
To notice that those were pictures? I didn't know what they were when he put them in his pocket.
Me neither.
This is our hero, though, right?
Yeah, this is our romantic interest that we're pulling for.
He's not satisfied with just getting underwear, stealing underwear. He's got to steal some photos. That mannequin's not doing it for him.
I was going to say, he's got to cut out Buffy's face and tape it to the front of the mannequin and practice kissing it.
I'm surprised he's not just like stalking her and taking photos himself, you know?
Yeah. But before Spike has to answer for his stealing, his theft of pictures of Buffy, the slug monster attacks Spike. And he's like, oh, God. And he has a nice little fight with the doll.
He freaks out when this thing jumps on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he freaks out so much that he kicks the steak knife from Buffy's hand. And it's just like all over the place.
Buffy looks so like annoyed at this point. Like not afraid. She's just like, oh, Spike.
Yeah. So after a while of it attacking Spike, it jumps back to Buffy. And then Spike gets the knife and throws it to Buffy.
Buffy, who was pinned down by the creature.
Yeah.
Stabbing it with the knife. I was thinking about this while I'm watching Buffy try to stab this thing at the awkward angle of reaching around it and stabbing towards herself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Spike, what are you doing right now?
He's just standing there. He's looking at the pictures of Buffy.
Just stab it, Spike. I know it's Buffy's show and she has to win. And it's cool if Buffy does it. But like, you're standing there. We just saw Willow stab vampires in the back. While the vampires were attacking other people.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Did it also seem like the knife got like 3 times bigger when Buffy was stabbing?
How tough is this demon thing if 3 knife stabs and it's like shell back does it in?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, she stabs it a bunch and it kills it. And Spike helps her up.
Buffy asks 0 questions about what this is. Why is it here? No care.
She's like, just done with that. Wipe my hands of that. So Spike helps her up. And then just as he helps her up, Riley and the military guys bust in. Mm-hmm. And there, Riley comes in. He's like, Buffy, are you okay? And Buffy's like, just runs straight to her mom.
I had questions about this moment because he busts in and it's him seeing Buffy and Spike like hands embraced, like looking at each other. Right. And you're like, oh, this is going to be the moment that triggers Riley. Riley mm-hmm. seems to not even like pay attention to it. I mean, Spike brings up later like, oh, you missed a good row, you know?
Yeah.
But like
you just missed a real nice time.
Yeah. And it's not like we get Riley reacting to that like. Oh, this sucks. What are you doing in the house with her? You said this. Like, they don't let that linger. And then Buffy doesn't say a word to Riley, who just came in. But also, she doesn't look at him like, I can't believe you're with these military guys again. She just, like, turns away. And I'm like, shouldn't you be happy that he showed up and was, like, on track for, like, hey, something was about to attack your mom and you?
Mm-hmm.
And she just gives him nothing. Like,
yeah.
She didn't go like, it's fine. I got to go check on my mom. Like just that simple line would have been like, okay. But she just like stone cold shoulders them. Like, I was so weird by this. I didn't understand this moment.
Yeah. And she just leaves him there with Spike for Spike to be like,
and Spike
fucking suck, dude.
Spike, the person that's a vampire in front of all the military initiative guys.
Yep.
Why are they not just taking him in?
Yeah. Graham should be like, is that specimen 17?
Yeah.
What's he doing here?
And she just goes up to her mom. And I'm like, I get caring about your mom, but like, you got a vampire down there stealing pictures of you. You got mm-hmm. a bunch of military people that just burst into your house with your boyfriend.
Yep.
You could say a couple words.
This is where I feel like Riley needs to have a conversation with Buffy. About, hey man, I was here the other day and I saw Spike sniffing your clothes.
Yeah.
Think he stole a pair of your panties, maybe. And now he's here again and you said that he was stealing. Hey, when are you going to do this de-invite? So, hey, how about you do me a solid and de-invite this fucking guy, you know? Do me a solid as your boyfriend.
Do me a solid and just like, you know, stab him in the heart.
Yeah. like, Riley should absolutely be like, why is this guy still around?
Why isn't Riley just going to kill him? Like, Riley's unhinged right now.
You absolutely should kill him, dude. Everybody should kill him. There's no reason for him to be here.
Like, Giles just having a bad day. He's like, hey, Spike, stab. Ah, oh, that feels good. Like,
yeah. Like, oh, now I have to worry about that fucking guy.
One less thing to worry about. We like Spike, just the plot armor.
Fun character. Yes. Very fun character. I'm not liking the creep stuff that he's doing.
He's getting caught creeping.
Yeah.
There was a vampire in your basement this whole time.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird. Dude,
if he's getting caught doing this stuff, imagine what he's doing that he's not getting caught.
Yeah.
Like, you're just catching him do some stuff. Like, there's way more stuff that he's doing.
You know, Angel was watching you sleep when he was a good vampire. Like,
yeah.
Man. All right.
Anyway. So Buffy runs upstairs to tell Joyce and Dawn, hey, the slug's gone. I killed it. And they're like, good, cool. So then we get to a very interesting scene where Dr. Intern Ben is leaving the hospital. And he's looking over his shoulders. He's looking shifty. I'm like, Dr. Intern Ben, what's going on, buddy? Gets into his car. And who's in his car but Dreg?
He survived.
I know. I was surprised. Because Glory was like, this snake better fucking work. Otherwise, it's your ass, Dreg. And the snake didn't work.
I think you predicted that he'd be back.
I'm pretty sure that you predicted that he was dead.
I think you predicted that he'd be back in the next episode doing something.
I don't remember predicting that, but I'll take it.
Someone on Discord would be like, actually?
Yeah. But Dreg is in there, and my note just says, they're in cahoots.
My thought was, I was right about that bone marrow demon scene in the locker room. Remember? I thought that demon was going to come over to him, and then Dr. Intern Ben was going to be like, what do you want now? I thought that was going to be the part where we reveal that he's like some kind of like weird guy. You thought that Dr. Intern Ben was actually like in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't believe he was in danger because of the way the shot worked. I thought he was, I thought it was going to be one of those like funny reveals that he's like working with, or that he was some type of demon thing. But and we get it a little later.
Yeah. So Dreg is in the back and he's like, hey, Dr. Intern Ben, what the fuck are you doing, man? I just do not understand why you summoned the Queller. What are you doing? We had a whole plan. And Ben is like, I summoned the Queller because I'm cleaning up Glory's mess like I've done my whole damn life. And then he just drives off with Dreg just out there. Because Dreg, he gets kicked out of his car.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dr. Intern Ben, I thought that you were potentially a love interest, but now.
Oh, he's still a love interest.
Oh, I mean, that's true. Like, vampire. Like, evil does not disqualify love interest.
I mean, he might still be one of the better, nicest people in Sunnydale, still. We don't know exactly what he wants, you know?
Is he Glory's boo?
I think he might be her brother.
Oh, that would be, yeah. That would make more sense for when he's talking about, I've been cleaning up her mess my whole damn life. Yeah. Maybe he and Buffy can bond over having to clean up for their siblings' messes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Ben has a face turn.
Yeah.
Buffy, stabs Glory in the back.
Buffy was like, oh, I used to be an only child. And like Ben's like, I wish I was an only child. And you're like, one of those weird things. I don't know. I think he still has like, he's cleaning up her messes, but he seems pissed about it. Not like she's not doing stuff. Like he's not like pro her evil, but she's bad at the idea. So we still don't know.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where Dr. Ben goes. Yeah. Dr. Intern Ben.
Dr. Intern Ben.
Very curious. So then we go back to the hospital. And Joyce is back in the hospital and she's getting prepped for surgery. And Joyce is sitting there with Buffy. And Buffy's like, all right, y'all ready for your surgery? And Joyce is like, yeah, I've said some crazy stuff the last couple of days, haven't I? And Buffy's like, yeah, you kind of been wilding. And Joyce goes, I got to tell you something, Buffy. I need you to answer me honestly, because I know that I've been saying some crazy stuff. But over the last few days, it's like I've been instilled with this knowledge. I've happened upon this information, and I just feel 100% that it is real. And I need you to answer me honestly when I ask you this question. Dawn isn't my daughter, is she? And Buffy, like, wide eyes, and then just looks down. And it's like, that's all the answer you need, Joyce. You don't need this confirmation anymore. And Buffy looks up and she goes, no, she's not your daughter. And I was like, wow, dude.
Yeah, mother's intuition.
So Joyce is like, okay, I thought that that was the truth. But part of the knowledge that I also gained over the last couple of days about this whole thing is that I just have this feeling that Dawn is very important, and she's important to the world, and we need to take care of Dawn. And Buffy's like, that's exactly right. Who have you been talking to? You talked to Giles? Did you call?
she's still seeing Giles on the side.
And then Joyce is like, yeah, I thought that's what was true. Well, Buffy, I need you to know this, and I need you to know that no matter what happens to me, surgery, if I come out of this or if I don't, I need you to promise me that you are going to take care of Dawn. And Buffy's like, I promise. And they hug.
And Buffy's teary-eyed, and it's emotional. This is a heavy scene, man. This is a lot to lay on. To lay on Buffy before you go into surgery. This is a lot.
I thought that was a heavy scene. But then the next scene, where they're wheeling Joyce out, and the whole cast of the show is there, and Joyce is just in her gurney waving goodbye.
Like, Riley's there. Like, it looks like a cast member's finale.
Yeah, I was like, Joyce is dead. Joyce is dying.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, that
or
was
or does
weird.
She come back with amnesia?
Wow, I mean, they haven't gone full soap opera yet, but here's a bigger, well, that in that shot was like so staged and framed, like, what is going on? Like,
yeah,
no one gets wheeled into surgery like that. But the question I had is, so the Queller demon was like brought in to bring down all the people that went crazy based off of like potentially what Glory was doing.
Yeah.
Like Glory was making people crazy. But Glory didn't affect Joyce.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Earlier when I was like, I don't know how long has this been going on.
But like the Queller demon, is it supposed to like handle all the people that are like mentally ill due to like Glory's brain sucking, whatever she does? But then it's like, well, this other person has a problem too, so I'm going to kill him. Like, what is the thing going after necessarily?
Yeah, and I don't know, like, the Queller demon's methods of, like, I know how to cure the crazy people. Kill them, then there'll be no more crazy people.
I mean, that is, we're close to society of doing that ourselves. We're being like, oh, yeah, they're crazy, just get rid of them. The mental health in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's not, this would be a valid thing. Like, BetterHelp or Queller demon?
On the Skid Row in Los Angeles, you'll have a real they already believe in the Queller demon down there.
Speaking of Skid Row, don't they bring that up in the Angel episode?
Yeah, they do. A little hint, you know, towards our Angel episode.
When I heard of Skid Row before, like, knowing about Los Angeles and stuff, I just thought that was what you call like rough stretches of neighborhoods, and not like there's actually like Skid Row, you know?
I only knew it as the band Skid Row. I was like, oh, that's an actual place.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing comedy there tonight? Oh. Oh, now I get it.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what if, like, I don't know if this is implying that Dawn's existence is what caused the spot in her brain. You know what I mean? It, like, adds a little weird gray area, no pun intended, to what's causing, like, this should just be like, oh, this is just something that happened to Joyce. It's just a random occurrence. But this Queller demon going after her and, like, being like, I gotta leave this hospital because there's more people, like, it's more danger at Joyce's, like, it's strange.
Yeah, especially after Joyce, you know, calls Dawn a shadow.
Yeah.
It's like last episode, she's talking about her brain tumor as a shadow. It's like, oh, is this going to give everybody brain tumors? Like the Dawn's existence?
Yeah, like it's not trying to kill Buffy because it's in Buffy. It wasn't like it was killing everybody that knows of Dawn. So it seemed like it was going after the people that Glory had affected. But then this switch added a... I get it for storyline and attacking, but it just made this thing that's affecting Joyce where they're like, you can't cure this with magic, but you can summon a demon that still wants to stop it. Like, say you like got it, like you were in a UFC fight and you got your bell rung and you were acting a little weird. Would it be like, oh, that guy's crazy, I gotta kill him? Like, what's the level that you have to be for this thing to be like, okay, you're done?
I don't know, man.
Yep.
But that's the episode, Joyce going off to surgery. And I'm worried for her. I'm really worried for her now. I'm like, that's a goodbye forever. Last two scenes. Like, that's...
It was very strange. It was a very strange frame. Maybe they just did that because they wanted to throw us off the scent. But I don't know. It was very... All right. Bye, Christine Sutherland.
The next episode is titled Into the Woods. Is this the musical episode?
Is this the...
Or are they going back to the crash site?
I'm going to go with a Little Red Riding Hood. They like that. They did that before, didn't they?
Isn't Into the Woods a musical?
It's something. It's a show too, isn't it?
It was a movie. James Corden was in it.
Your favorite James Corden, right?
This is driving Alex, our Discord user, wild right now.
It is a Stephen Sondheim award-winning musical.
Boom. All right. There we go. I got you, Alex. Oh, boy. He's probably just sitting at home just like, fucking yes! I fucking hate James Corden! Into the Woods.
It's like Cinderella and the Baker and some witches curses. Okay, I'm going to go, based off of that, I'm going to go Witch Battles with Willow.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to go with...
Actually, they've been going
deeper. Because they kind
of solved... Go ahead.
They've kind of solved the alien situation. Maybe Riley's...
Not even really an alien, too.
Yeah. So they wouldn't go back to that crash site.
No. Every title that we had recently, like Shadow and what is this one called?
Fear.
Listening to Fear. It's playing on something. It's not like direct. So like Into the Woods could be like Riley going deeper into like his, like going deeper into something bad, dangerous, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. But I'm going to go with Witch Battles. I'm going to stick with my Willow Witch Fight.
I think that's a good guess, especially now that you've like looked it up and seen what the musical is about. That makes sense. But yeah, that is a wrap for Listening to Fear, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Vance, for re-recording half of this episode.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, we were able to get out of this and save and be fine.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
If you want to get a shout out, do the Apple Podcast rate and review. We'll give you a shout out, or do the Spotify 5-star rating. Screenshot it, send it to my DMs at Joe Welke. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/boys watching Buffy, where we do boys watching Angel, boys watching movies, Joe's fashion report. Join our Discord. We have a lot of lively shit going on. Discord is live now, dude.
Yeah.
It's every day.
It's
something.
It's active. It's hard to keep up sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we got a book club coming. It's a book club.
Got a book club coming, apparently.
Yeah.
I will not be joining. I am illiterate.
Joe can't read and I refuse to.
Yeah. Follow Instagram at Boys Watching Buffy. boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. Amazon wishlist throne thing.
You never plugged that hard at all.
Well, yeah. I mean,
we also decided that we weren't going to plug it hard.
Yeah, I was like, we said that we weren't going to do that anymore.
But, you know, we'd appreciate it if someone bought
us
stuff.
We still got stuff on there.
We still have to go to Olive Garden. We haven't forgotten.
We still got the gift cards. We made plans to do it, and then it was just too much.
It was too fast, too furious.
Yeah. We went and saw Fast X instead, everybody. but we
family,
will be going
family
to Olive
is
Garden.
Olive Garden and Fast X.
Of course, yeah. There, dude. It's one and the same. When you're there, you're family. When you're at Fast X, you're family.
Yeah.
Well, I still got Mountain Dew energy drinks in that Amazon wish list. Need that energy.
And then we got some higher end products.
Yeah,
if people
got the Oculus, we got the Nintendo Switch for Vans. We got a bunch of stuff. So we got all that going on. So give it a look. Give it a look. See.
Yeah, if you just have expendable cash that you just don't even want, you know, in this time of like everyone's flush with cash these days.
Absurd wealth.
Yeah,
just absurd wealth. We get it. Just give us
like 90% of our listeners are billionaires. So
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. They know that. Vance still is switchless.
And Joe is thirsting for some Mountain Dew.
I know. Come on. Got so many Buffy t-shirts, though. They're littered across my apartment. They're all over the Joe's Fashion Report.
Yeah.
Try and show them all off, baby. And also thank you to all the people that have actually got the stuff. Vance is sipping from his Buffy the Vampire Slayer mug right now. Yeah. That was gifted to us. So we really appreciate that. We're joking about it and everything and begging for more, but we're not trying to be greedy, but
we're just trying to prolong this so that everything can crash and we won't be able to save it.
I know, right? God damn it,
we should get out of here.
We absolutely should. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We will see you next time for when we talk about Into the Woods.
I don't even know if I'm gonna take that exam.
I'd rip it in half and stick it in bed with me.